This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we welcome in one of the very best and brightest. Find him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. Zach Jackson joins us from The Athletic. Hello, Zach.
What a pleasure to be with the host of The Greg Williams Show.
I knew you were going to do that. I'm done. I'm out. Goodbye.
I mean, I predicted it.
When did you predict it?
No, you didn't predict that, because you also said the Todd Haley Show. And at one point, you said the Al Saunders Show. So don't even sit there and think that you predicted it. You could have picked a name out of the hat. You could have said Bob Wiley. Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Yeah, it is. Glad to be here. What do you guys want to talk about?
Go ahead and ask him a question, Anthony. I'm worked into his shoes.
Where do we even begin, Zach? Obviously, yesterday, a tumultuous day that we all saw coming. We just didn't see it on that day that way, meaning both coaches going. We thought if there was a power struggle, one of them would have to win. How surprised are you that both of them, the offensive coordinator Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson, are both gone?
Yeah, I would say there was a good level of surprise with that and with how it went down. I woke up super early because I expected it. When it didn't happen Sunday night, I kind of expected it to happen Monday. So I was listening to the show and kind of waiting around, and I heard Ken use the term ordeal, and I thought that that was a really good word choice. And so it just had become that. It was time. And, you know, I guess I can't say we'll never know, because these things are going to leak out, but what was going on with Todd and Hugh behind the scenes was obviously worse than we knew. You know, even when you take what had come out in press conferences or in different, you know, background use of trying to slam the other guys. So let's not let that take away from the fact that the coaching and the progress of the football team were just not good, and that, you know, and the bigger thing, which is this move should have been made many, many months ago, before these arranged marriages were stuck and before the Browns, you know, went forward with their number one pick and put him in this position. But I think the Browns got better yesterday, and, you know, they were never going to win the Super Bowl or make the playoffs this year, so you make these moves now and you just look ahead. The reason this had to be done, regardless of who was being backstabbed and with what kind of knife, is there are 8 games left. And there are young players that need to get better, and they need a good environment here, because Dorsey has a lot of evaluating to do, and they have a lot of growing to do, because even Myles Garrett isn't good enough yet, and he's pretty darn good.
All right, Zach Jackson joining us on the hotline. Look, we all understand Hugh. It's not like we even need to have anybody on today to talk about why Hugh got fired. We all got that. It was just a matter of when, not if. But 8 games in, to have your offensive coordinator, who you brought in as an arranged marriage, that, again, is another, to me, clear example of dysfunction in Berea, which we always get, but we thought was finally not going to be the case. How could they let this happen? And John Dorsey, who I've been excited about, did he have anything to do with Todd Haley coming here? Because I don't understand how, if this organization is finally going to turn the corner and go in the right direction, how they could have hired Todd Haley just to fire him 8 weeks in.
Yeah, I mean, the story is that the hiring was not forced on anyone. But, you know, there were obviously some conditions to Hugh keeping the job. Or maybe not obviously. Maybe we're guessing that. Todd Haley is a name that people know. Todd Haley's been successful and been around this league for a long time. Is tied to a lot of people because of the good teams that he's coached and what he's done. So to get him, you know, even though it was going to be an awkward fit, seemed like a positive move, because something was going to have to change after 1-31. He'd never wanted to give up play calling. So that part was forced on some level. By whom? I don't think that matters now, Anthony. I think you're right. The level of dysfunction is to the point that Greg Williams is the interim coach. I never thought that possible. And another thing I want to admit that I was wrong on while I'm here is I remember sitting here and we talked about Hard Knocks and those scenes, right, where there was obvious strife between Todd and Hugh, and I just downplayed it. And the reason I downplayed it is because, of course, there's supposed to be conflict. You guys have conflict. You and your producers have conflict. You and your wives have conflict. Like, you get over it. But these guys could just never get over it. And, you know, I just think October is when good teams, you know, find out why they're good and kind of find themselves. And the great teams really start to hit the gas. And the Browns were going backwards. And this move was forced. And it was at least a week overdue, in addition to being a year overdue. So all they can do is just kind of make best of what's left. These are big opportunities, not necessarily with the Browns, but in the NFL for Greg Williams, for Freddie Kitchens, for other guys, and certainly for Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, and the other guys you hope will be here for a long time. This is a great chance for them to kind of make the best of a good situation and go forward with good vibes.
So that means it's time for this hour's Pigskin Payout Code Word. Your chance to win $1,000. Text us code word RECYCLE, RECYCLE, to 72881 or go to intercomcontest.com. Enter the code word RECYCLE by the end of the hour. Do not text and drive. Message and data rates, they do apply. Good luck during the Pigskin Payout, a national contest on Cleveland Sports Radio 92.3. The Fan also reminding you that Jeff Thomas right then and there, brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. Zach Jackson joining us this morning from The Athletic Farm on Twitter, at Akron Jackson.
All right, Zach, obviously we're going to be talking about coaching candidates in just a second because that's normally what we do here. But I do want to get to the final second half of the season because I've made the point that, look, we're going to get down on what they do the second half of the year. If they don't win a game the rest of the year, and if Baker looks like a guy that's just not ready and they did him wrong with the way this whole thing was set up, people are going to panic. But I will provide the example last year, Jared Goff, a few years ago, Jared Goff. And they ended up going with an interim head coach. Goff was a total disaster. And they made the right hire. They made the right signings and everything changed. Is that what we should hope for right here in Cleveland?
Well, yeah, you have to. I mean, Baker's the number one pick. They're not rescinding that or hedging that. I'd be shocked. Like, he's going to be the guy. So for many years to come, or at least as many years until/unless he fails, right? So yeah, and that's why Lincoln Riley, I think, is a candidate. That's why Zach Taylor, the quarterback's coach with the Rams, I think, is a candidate, because ideally you would just build an offense to play to Baker's strengths. Obviously, you got some good players on the defense, potentially some great ones, and a chance to kind of start with that and go from there. So, yeah. This season was always going to be mostly about Baker, and especially now with these last eight games. He's got to be better. They've got to protect him better. Guys have to protect better. That's certainly part of him being better. But you need to keep him upright, and he needs to be both a selling point and a building point for whoever the new coach is going to be.
Was there a possibility, because we had read that from Ian Rappaport, or heard that from Ian Rappaport about, hey, you know, Todd Haley could end up being the one who goes. Could it have gotten to a point maybe by the end of the year where if this, with Hugh Jackson, had kept on, that maybe you could start to really push John Dorsey away from the organization?
No, I mean, you know, I think there was a natural line you could draw, Ken, where it was like, okay, Tyrod Taylor and Hugh Jackson are here, mm-hmm. but really Baker Mayfield and John Dorsey are tied together. Both of those guys are short-timers, mm-hmm. right? But it's too early in Dorsey's time. I mean, you know, I think firing the coach now is not quite as smart as hiring Dorsey last December, but I think it's along those lines. And unfortunately, you can put it in a category of the very few good football moves the Haslams have made since being here, because now you really get time to assess your options and dig in with the people that are going to be here in terms of who and what exactly you want. But, you know, overall picture, Dorsey's here. Those three players we've named are here. Other guys have a chance to be here, and you go out and you see, you know, what you really need, because you had this terrible conflict, and then how you make it work. Because this thing was flawed from the start, in that if you'd have drafted Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, and they never considered Josh Allen, I'm just using this as an example because uh-huh. of how green he is, then it's fine to say we're not ever going to let this rookie. But when you draft a 23-year-old quarterback with Baker's level of smarts and accomplishment, and you say the reason we loved him is because of these things and the way he's going to get himself ready, and you see him in August take the leaps that he that he did, and you still won't let him near, and you have an awkward coach-GM relationship, already an awkward coach-coordinator relationship, like that was just faulty planning from the start.
I don't know. The way that offensive line seems to play, I'm starting to see it a little bit more and more why they kind of wanted to wait.
But I'm also just surprised, Zach, real quick, I'm also just surprised, and maybe I was delusional thinking Dorsey would fix all that ailed this dysfunctional organization. I just thought, even though I know how Dorsey had acted in the past, I'm just so surprised that that was the plan going into the season, that he would have signed off on that plan.
Yeah, I mean, will we ever know if he did or didn't? It sure seems like he did. That sure seems like an organizational decision, right? I don't know. Can you make a good point with the offensive line? But two things I would say. One, you can't fix everything in one offseason. And two, then you make Baker the three and you don't even let him anywhere near the field except in preseason games.
Well, I said I wanted to give him some reps with the first team. I'm in agreement with you and Anthony about that. I said it a bunch. To the competition thing, you know, I understand that there's a fear, but anytime you have a good quarterback, I understand where you're coming from, Zach. I'm not trying to pick
you just
a fight.
You know, and there's no great – I understand why they didn't want a quarterback controversy, too. But just use track record of handling every situation. You know, as I've written, as I've said, you know, press conferences are what they are. Interviews are what they are. But presentation matters. And when did Hugh ever say the right thing? When did Hugh ever take a situation and make you feel better about it? As a fan, as a radio host?
Never.
As just a guest,
never.
Right? Never.
Never. Never.
Zach Jackson, join us, A to Z Podcast, also The Athletic. So let's talk about the thing everybody wants to hear about now. Who's going to be the next head coach of the Browns? We've gotten calls. Yesterday it was Tony Romo. Today it was Peyton Manning. Let's get to some serious candidates, because I think the difference this year is, Zach, the Browns are a desirable job. I know that Jimmy Haslam's still the owner, but I do think there are components of this job that could make it the most desirable. So start going through some of the candidates. We won't hold you to this because we know things can change, and we don't really know who's available.
Say his name, Zach.
But who are some of the candidates, and give us the pros and cons of all of them?
Say his name. You know what name I want to hear. You say it. You say it right now.
Matt Campbell.
Woo! Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so because I don't have time to go through 15 of them.
We
I
do.
Assume.
I got time. Explore the space, baby. Go ahead.
The two realistic college coaches to me are Matt Campbell and Lincoln Riley. Charles Robinson from Yahoo, who I really respect, who's really plugged in, says Dabo would take the – there's a possibility Dabo would take the job. Okay.
Whoa! Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Wait. Whoa. Dabo would take the job.
This is what this he said. There's a possibility Dabo would take
that name. Occur to me.
Guys in this room have that cell phone number. That means you have that cell phone number. Zach, you got to call that guy up and persuade him.
You know, I don't think that Nick Saban or Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh are realistic candidates, but I could see a reach out taking place, you know, which goes on. In the NFL ranks, I mean, there's four coordinators that come to mind immediately. John DeFilippo, who we know, who has Northeast Ohio roots, who's been with the Browns, who's now a hot candidate and is going to get interviews, is probably going to get a job. Eric Bieniemy, obvious ties to Dorsey, coaching the best offense, one of the best offenses right now. Matt LaFleur with the Titans, who, you know, has been there. With the Rams, been with good offenses, and Pete Carmichael with the Saints, who coached the Browns a long, long time ago when he was really young and is kind of under the radar. But I think all of those guys in one way fall behind Josh McDaniels. But does anybody want Josh McDaniels? Is he at the top of the list by resume? Sure. Does anybody really trust him after last year? I can't speak for that. So
you
see the complications there.
You know he's going to be a hard sell. Can you sell him real quick, other than because Lima – Lime is tough to sell me on things. I naturally want to disagree with him. I trust you, even though I hate you sometimes.
No.
Go ahead.
I can't sell Josh, but I can tell you that ties are obvious. The reasons you would like him are obvious. But John Dorsey's really close with Chris Ballard, and Chris Ballard's the guy that Josh left at the altar.
Yeah, I think it would have to be an understanding where both those sides say, look, none of those shenanigans again. And, oh, by the way, which coordinators would want to work with Josh after he left those guys at the altar too. I think that's legitimate. All I've ever said about Josh is he's the most indisposable coordinator they've ever had in that setup in New England. So everybody wants to say, hey, Charlie Weiss didn't work out, Romeo Crennel, Matt Patricia. Remember, this is the guy.
Patricia's not doing too
terrible
so far.
Well, who knows? But remember, this is the guy they made the highest paid assistant in football. And they got him to leave a franchise quarterback to come back for. So that's how indisposable they think he is.
I've never sat in a coaching interview. You know, I've covered these enough. I've asked enough people to kind of get a feel for what they're like and what they're looking for and what they're supposed to find, right? But I got a hard time believing. I mean, I think we could go through this list, you know, for two more hours. And I got a hard time believing that anybody would do a better job than Josh of sitting in the room and saying, this is how I would use Baker Mayfield, right? Maybe Lincoln Riley. So, Ken, to go back to your guy, Matt, I don't have a problem saying, you know, I've had this argument. Well, I don't do Twitter arguments anymore, but I've seen this.
And it's smart really man. Dumb.
It's really dumb to see people say he's not even a winning coach at Iowa State. Like, the reason
like Lima did with us? Like he did with us on Saturday?
Wait, I said he's above 500.
Like you did with us on Saturday.
I said he's above 500. Congratulations.
We know what you were doing.
But, I mean, he's taken Iowa State, which clearly doesn't have the players of the big boys, and he's played with and beaten the big boys. I mean, he was a 31-point underdog with a walk-on QB when they beat Baker Mayfield last year.
Exactly.
Right? John Dorsey drafted Kareem Hunt, who was a player for Matt at the University of Toledo. Kareem is a Cleveland guy. People know him. And just you get that reputation. Dorsey's a Rhodes scout at heart, you know, and still is to an extent. And Matt has earned his reputation because guys that have gone and scouted his players have reported back to their bosses that this guy's a star. He runs a tight ship. He presents himself well. Like, he is doing – we have scouted all these players across the Big 12. And this is what Dorsey did last fall, right? He scouted the Big 12 looking for blue-chip players. And he saw that Iowa State didn't have them, but they were still winning.
Great point. It's a great point. Zach, let me ask you one more thing when it comes to the coaches. I know fans don't want to hear the term retread head coach. You talked about all the college guys. You talked about all the coordinators. Retreads. Well, let me tell you two guys that were considered retreads, Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. Those are considered retreads. Yeah. I've used the name, and I brought up the name a month ago, and everybody scoffed at me. I think he could get fired at the end of the year. Mike Tomlin. Maybe if you want to move on to another guy in this division, I don't know. I don't think Harbaugh is getting fired, but if he did, who are some of the retread head coaches that could be under consideration?
I think there's a much better chance Harbaugh gets fired than Tomlin, but that's a different discussion for a different day.
Would you take Harbaugh?
I know the stigma that comes with that, Anthony. I'm a big believer in being a head coach before at some level. It certainly helps you. And I totally understand those that say, hey, not Lincoln Riley, not Matt Campbell, because that is a huge leap. It is. It is a huge leap. It's a different ball game. It's a different world. But you're supposed to clean up the mess that you've had, right? You're supposed to address the biggest weaknesses that your coach had. And I think the Browns you just need a leader of men, someone to nail the presentation and lay out what the standards are and what the culture should be, rather than just talking about we're going to change the culture, which they do every 18 months, or they do every day for 2 hours on the radio, right? And it never gets changed. So that in that regard, I think you need someone that's been a head coach and been a head coach for a number of years at whatever level. So, you know, the other retreads, I don't know. If the Packers fire Mike McCarthy, I don't think they're hiring Mike McCarthy. I could be wrong. The one name that I need to mention, even though I'm very clear that this is just throwing out names, is Dave Taub, the special teams coordinator in KC. He's interviewed in at least four different places. He started at KC the year Dorsey did. And you know, people like special teams coaches because they work with both sides of the ball. He's an older guy. He's been around. He's been waiting on his chance. I don't know that it's coming. But there's a reason he's been interviewing the last few years, and he will be in this interview cycle again.
Zach, we thank you so much. It was so exciting. All the very best to you.
When is the Greg Williams show? Because I am not missing it.
Thursday night, 7 p.m., friend.
Can't freaking wait.
All right, buddy, take care. The great Zach Jackson. He was going to hang up on me before I hung up on him.
Dabo Sweeney?
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the entire segment brought to you by WindowNation.com. He says Dabo Sweeney would be a possibility there. That got everybody's bull running. We'll get to talk about that. Also, KISS tickets coming up after the break. So you can't go anywhere. And also, Lincoln Riley, he didn't say no yesterday. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.